Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is that co-host for the mouth, Kyle Krauss.
It's episode 69, Ian! Woo!
Yeah!
I don't know what that means.
No significance whatsoever outside of the numerical value.
Not really. Although none. Our topic fits the number pretty well, I'd say. I mean,
we could go that route,
Because I said so, and that's the only reason why. There's no other possible reason at all that number would fit anything related to anything. Just so you know.
We remain a family show.
Oh, man. That's no fun.
Until we finally get tired of them and go full hog in the other direction.
Hey, come on. What we just saw is a family movie.
It is. He even said that. You have me there.
He even says that. Come on.
Before we jump into that, how have you been, sir?
I'm doing all right. Doing just all right. Hanging in there. Finally caught up on my Sonic comics. And Cosmo number 5 just showed up like yesterday, so I'm ready to go for comics. I'm doing pretty good. I'm liking these books. Nice. I'm liking these books. I'm liking what you're doing, Ian. It's weird. I've never liked your stuff before in my life, but I like these. So I think you're improving.
I'm so glad that you have said that, because up to this point I didn't know what I was doing with my life, but now that you have approved of me,
okay, good. I'm glad I know
I'm in the right direction.
Okay, good. I'm glad I can be your source of approval. I'm glad my opinion matters. At least it matters to somebody. So how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. I'm actually kind of getting a little stir crazy because most of my projects are complete.
Uh-oh.
Or I can't work on them just yet, or they're being approved, so I don't have a ton to do work-wise, and that creative outlet starts to build up like a giant creative pimple, and it's gonna burst!
Uh-oh.
Also, if you joined us for Bumblecast Gaming last week, I got Shadow of the Colossus for the PS4, which is utterly gorgeous, and burned through some of the early Colossi, so I'll be doing that next Friday, or I guess this coming Friday. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because that's how time progresses. So, provided I am not totally burned out because I have a busy week ahead of me with, unfortunately, boring normal life stuff, yeah, we should be hunting down more giant, possibly stone, possibly moss, full of black, gooey, smoky critter action.
Okay. Sounds good.
Have you played Shadow of the Colossus?
I haven't played it, but I've watched a playthrough of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm that guy. I just watch playthroughs of stuff instead of actually playing them.
Well, it's one of those cinematic games.
It is. Yeah.
It really is something that I want to say you get the same experience watching it, but the panic that sets in as you're trying to climb these things. Maybe you don't get the full experience. I don't know. It's worth playing if you ever get the chance.
There's still a good sense of tension watching it.
Oh, sure.
So it's worth, you know, if you can't play it, at least watch it. I know the controls are kind of janky, so that's not the reason why I watched it instead of playing it. It's because I didn't own it. That would be why.
It took me a minute to warm up to the control scheme, but you know, once you know how the game wants you to play, it feels pretty natural.
Sure. It's also it's a PS2 era game originally, so you know it's got that old school design philosophy, for better or worse.
Yeah.
So
as revolutionary as it was at the time.
Sure.
Now, if you are just tuning in and missed this last episode, we have some exciting news. Number one, starting this season, all the Q&A will be listed in the YouTube video. So if you don't want to jump to the Q&A and listen through all the questions, you can just scroll down and see if your question has been answered in this episode. This is current all through season 4 and 1, and I'll slowly be making my way through seasons 2 and 3, which are much, much bigger.
Yep. There's like 26 episodes each in those, I think.
And I'm pretty sure there's at least 2 Q&A bonanzas, so.
Whoops. Do we still have all the show notes for those? For most of them? We don't?
Nope.
Oh, wait. Yes, we do. Yes. Yeah. They're on there.
Are they?
Yes. In the folders. If you go to the show notes folder and then the year folders.
Oh, year, look at you. The year. Being all organized and on top of things. This is why he runs the show, folks.
Oh, okay.
I'm just the pretty face.
I didn't know we were putting this in the show, but sure, we can do that.
This is why he runs the show, folks. And I'm just the pretty face behind the mic.
Okay. That's fine. I will ride on your coattails to sweet, sweet justice. I don't know what that means. So that might make things a little easier for you, sir.
We are slowly but surely catching up. The Bumble Commentaries, the brand new feature that debuted this year. Patrons, you can download it for free. Everyone else, you can grab it super cheap over at Bandcamp. We'll have the link in the YouTube description. And we will sit down and have the big group Patreon chat. I promise. It's just we both had lots of real life stuff that's been keeping us busy. And just getting the show done on time has been kind of tricky sometimes.
All right. Are we ready to give away something cool, Ian?
Yes, we are. It's time for the Bumble Raffle. Every episode, somebody wins a surprise from us. If you are a Patreon... If you are a patron over at patreon.com/bumblecast, you are automatically entered into every single drawing. If you're not a patron, you get the same chance. You just have to email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com for each episode that you want to be entered into. So, this episode's winner is...
Brody M.
Congratulations, Brody. We will be in touch with you as soon as possible.
Congratulations. Have fun with the thing we're sending you. Whatever it is, who knows? I don't know what it is. We'll figure it out. Don't worry.
We'll cover that after the show.
Yes.
So moving on, we are going to enter into the spoiler-free section, talking about the latest Marvel cinematic movie that's not part of the cinematic universe, Deadpool 2.
Indeed, it's part of the X-Men cinematic universe. I don't think that's actually a thing that they call it, but I'm going to call it that.
It falls within the purview of its realm, kind of, sort, ish.
Sure. it's very tangentially related, I should say.
So, what did you think, Kyle? What was your takeaway from the latest Merc with a Mouth movie?
Well, I had a pretty positive view on it. I thought it was weird that Josh Brolin plays plays a villain in two movies at the same time this year. In two Marvel movies, even.
Villain.
Huh?
Would you really say he's a villain?
No, he does kind of a face turn-ish, although he never really was evil. It's just, you know what I mean.
he was the distilled grunge 90s.
Yeah, there really wasn't an all-out villain in this movie, which I think actually kind of worked to its benefit. There were just a variety of obstacles for Deadpool to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't mind that, actually. We don't need a big, huge villain in every movie. We don't need someone who's gonna, you know, destroy the entire world in every movie.
We don't need the giant CG army of beasties to be plowed through on a green screen every single time.
We don't need Thanos in every movie. I mean, sure, he's in this one and another one, but we'll ignore that. Although the one thing that I love about this movie and about the first one is that it does a really good job of taking the piss out of superhero movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it can be done very badly, but I think in this instance, the parody hits really well, especially if you're a diehard superhero film nerd like we are.
I feel like I was laughing the hardest at the super inside baseball jokes.
Oh, definitely, yes.
And I will say that I laughed the hardest overall at the after credits scenes, which there are multiple.
Yeah, yep. The inter-credit scenes, since there is no post-credit scenes, sadly, but that's okay. But yeah, the inter-credit scenes are glorious. We won't spoil anything here, but I would say stick around after the movie, at least for a little while. You can leave before the before the credits complete, but there's two scenes at the end you need to watch.
I don't know. I think it's worth sitting all through the credits, especially before the
clear
musical number.
Yes. Okay, never mind. Yeah, do stay for the credits.
I could hear it during the movie, but I couldn't quite make out what was being said, and then they have it, you know, unfiltered in the truest sense of the term at the very end of the credits. So sit through the whole thing.
It's a
shortish movie.
I did also like the X-Force rap.
Yes, that was fun too.
Funny. Yes. Oh, man. I like how he makes a joke how you have to Google dubstep, because apparently people have already forgotten what dubstep is. That is like, man, that was a weird fad that came and went and nobody remembers.
Yeah, I guess it really doesn't crop up much anymore.
Nope, not at all. Oh, man.
Which is, all right, maybe I'm showing my poor musical taste, but I didn't mind dubstep.
I thought if it
was used as part of the construction of the song, it was kind of fun. It could get obnoxious, sure, but you could say that about any of the contrivances that music uses.
It's like any genre. There's good songs, there's bad songs, there's good uses of it, there's bad uses of it. You can't pigeonhole an entire genre into just what you think it is, because, you know. A really good musician uses... No, come on, man.
Don't do that. I'm standing by that one.
There's some good country out there. Sure, it's not made today, but... but it's out there. All right, this is not the music podcast. Where are we going? We're talking about Deadpool 2.
My takeaway from it was that it was a fun sequel.
Yeah,
it did what it needed to do to be a Deadpool movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have been just as happy with it going straight to DVD.
Mm.
I didn't feel like it was a have to go to the movie theater to see this type of experience, you know?
I kind of agree with you. I liked it. I definitely enjoyed it. But it wasn't like, it didn't like blow me away, or, you know, it wasn't. I guess it just didn't have the cachet of something like Infinity War, where it's like, this has been building over the course of a decade, and we're finally to the penultimate point of the story. This is just, you know, it's more Deadpool, and it's fun.
Yeah,
it's a very fun movie.
Part of the problem is Deadpool was so revolutionary in terms of superhero movies at the time. It broke so many boundaries and set itself apart that it's a really tough act to follow.
Exactly, yeah.
And what you get is more or less more of the same, I guess, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you go in expecting a Deadpool movie, and that's exactly what you get.
Exactly, yeah.
That's not really a knock against it, but if you were, I would put it this way, I guess, if you were ambivalent about the first Deadpool, and you just kind of want to see it because everyone's seeing it, you might as well wait for it to come out on video. It's not something that you need to go out and see right now.
Right.
But it is worth a watch because it's fun. It's entertaining. I think it's got a good message buried under everything if you really dig in there.
Buried under the violence? That is one thing.
I gotta say, the CG was really lackluster.
That isn't really all that surprising to me. This is the Fox Marvel movies we're talking about, after all.
Yeah, so, but I feel like the first movie had better CG, and it had a smaller budget.
Well, the first movie didn't have much CG because it had a smaller budget, so it could get away with doing, or with less CG. Or I should say, it had to make do with less CG.
I suppose.
I think the budget kind of... I definitely appreciate the fact that they gave this movie a bigger budget, and they did put it to pretty good use, but I don't know, it didn't seem like the action sequences were quite as impressive as the first movie. But so it was good.
It was, and I think we're going to put that as the marker of the spoiler-free part. Because now we're going to go into spoiler territory. So this is your last warning. If you care that much about the Deadpool movie and you don't want to be spoiled, jump ahead to the Q&A. Do it now.
Do it. Or don't do it. Stay here if you've seen the movie and you want to see the movie, or if you haven't seen it but don't care. Stay here. Okay, we're good, Ian. I think they're gone.
Still here? All right, good. So the one thing that bugged me the most, and it took me a minute to chew on it, was the fridging of Vanessa.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, it's a contrivance that is, you would think that Deadpool would make fun of more than actually utilize, which they did in the Bond-esque opening.
Sure.
But on the other hand, it wasn't his call to action. If anything, it destroyed him.
Right.
It wasn't the motivation that got him to go on his bloody, murderous rampage. It was most of the film him trying to find a new direction, which I guess kind of undercuts it a bit. The fact that she is still present throughout the film as a force instead of just a lingering memory kind of undercuts it a bit. Yeah. And the whole thing gets retconned during the post credits. So maybe that's the joke and I'm just overthinking it.
Well, I mean, it's Deadpool and I don't know. It feels like the whole movie was just kind of retconned. Which is also the joke about, you know, superhero movies and comic books. You know, just retcon things immediately after they happen. That's the joke, but I kind of agree with you. It did undercut the movie a bit, and, you know, it seems kind of weird to just kill her off, but I did appreciate that it wasn't, like, what drove him throughout the movie necessarily. It's just the movie is him trying to overcome that through different means. So I think it fits. I think it kind of fits Deadpool.
Appreciate that they threw out pretty much all of Cable's rat's nest of a backstory and just made him basically Bishop, you know, a future cop. And he has a very, very blatant parallel motivation to Wade, and that's why he comes back. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to bring Cable into a general populace movie, you're going to have to not just trim the fat, you're going to have to get out the hedge clippers.
They didn't even bother to mention who his parents are, which is great. I'm glad. I'm glad they glossed over that fact. I'm glad.
Well, I mean, his cybernetics looked cool.
Yeah.
The little bit of telekinesis was used well. He had his BFG to blow everything up. He had that super grungy 90s fixation at the start and then kind of mellowed towards the end of it to get a little closer to, I guess, what modern Cable is. I haven't read X-Men in a bit, so I don't even know if he's alive at this point, but. And really for me, because I was a fan of the Cable Deadpool comic for its brief run, warts and all, because the straight man Cable to wacky Deadpool was just gold. It works. And we got a nice juicy taste of it there right at the end of the film. It's like, give me more.
Yeah.
Deadpool 3, Cable and Deadpool, just the two of them pissing each other off. Occasionally shooting each other because just give, please, I will give you my monies. I will take back everything I said earlier and say, go to the theater. Just that was fun. Oh, I love that so much.
If there's anything that's to be said about this movie, it's Deadpool's interaction with everybody.
Yeah.
Just the way he reacts to pretty much everyone. Even the first X-Force that is kind of unceremoniously killed off.
Yeah!
which is funny, but also kind of depressing. I know.
See, here's the thing.
Do people hate Shatterstar? Is that like a common thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I kind of thought so.
Everyone does, but.
Yeah.
I was on an anonymous board. And somebody said, here's the plot to Deadpool months ago. like, maybe around Christmas. And I'm like, yeah, sure, let's read your fanfic, teehee. It was accurate.
Uh-huh.
So I was spoiled going in, and I didn't even realize it. And the X-Force unceremonious death roll, I get the joke. I really do. And it's funny, but it also feels kind of mean.
It is, yeah.
Like, you have the actors that you could do something with.
Right.
Come on!
They definitely could have done a lot more with Bedlam because it's Terry Crews. Come on.
I know!
You got freaking Terry Crews.
Terry Crews, come on!
You got Terry Crews. How could you do that?
And I get the joke, and it's funny, but I don't want that joke. Give me a different joke.
At least Domino was spared, and she was awesome.
Yeah, Domino's great. Did you catch who Vanisher was?
I did. I saw him, and I like recognized him, but I didn't recognize him.
Had to look this up after the fact. It's Brad Pitt.
Is it? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I knew he looked familiar, but I didn't want to sound like an idiot. And so that's not the name I was thinking, but yeah, I definitely see it now. And I do like
it. How much money did they have to pay to have Brad Pitt show up for like half a second in CG dying on power lines?
I hope nothing, and he just did it for fun because it sounded hilarious. But who knows?
But as you were saying, Domino was fantastic. She was great fun.
Yes, she is, as they say, badass. I could do with a lot more Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yeah,
more, please.
Would like to see her more.
Yeah. I did like Deadpool's interaction with Yukiko. Is that her name?
Yukio.
Huh?
Yukio.
Yukio. Okay. Yukio, not Yukiko. I don't know why I was thinking there was an extra K in there. That was very endearing. And of course Colossus. Best friend Colossus. even more best friend than Cable.
They managed to redeem Juggernaut from X3.
Yeah, he didn't even make a "I'm the Juggernaut, bitch" joke. Which is a shame. I mean, maybe it's not a shame, but I still would have enjoyed that. Maybe if Deadpool had said it, that would have been better. But yeah, I did like that Juggernaut played a bit of a role in here. He seemed to survive, so he might be back in another Deadpool movie in the future, which could be fun.
Yep.
And I did like
Comcast, though. Our beloved, storied, well-remembered X-Men villain, Black Tom Cassidy, is dead.
Oh, no! He was the best black. He's the best black character in the world. You can't kill him.
Yes, good old Black Tom with his powers of... who was known for that story arc where...
Yeah.
His Banshee's brother?
I guess. You know,
half-brother,
more
brother maybe? I don't remember.
My X-Men knowledge is so freaking lacking. I didn't even know he was actually a thing.
Oh yeah,
I kind of figured he might be, because this movie really actually does a pretty good job of playing homage to the parts of the X-Men mythos that I recognize, at least. So I would say that, but I do like how Deadpool called Cable Thanos at one point. That was very entertaining. I'm like, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? I was waiting the whole movie. I'm like, is he going to call him Thanos? He's got to do it. Come on. And he did it. It's great. The baby leg scene probably dragged on a little too long. But then it kind of looped back around into being funny again. So it was okay.
I think what saved that was more, it was one of the best character interaction scenes.
Yeah.
Moving the plot forward.
Right.
You know, you had everybody there, everybody interacting, and you had the baby legs.
Yeah. He's just had baby legs. It's like, okay, why not? Oh, boy. But, yeah, I enjoyed it. There's just lots of really funny moments, funny scenes, lots of good scenes, and that's really about it for me. What do you think, Ian?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would like to see another one. And from my understanding, this is basically the vehicle to launch the X-Force franchise.
Yeah.
And if we have Brolin's Cable and... Oh, shoot. Who's the actress for Domino?
Zazie Beetz.
Thank you. If they return, I'm already sold.
Yes.
I don't know how they would approach it. Like, would they try to go a little harder edge, keep that R rating, and make it, like, serious espionage, Jason Bourne-esque, blow things up? Or would they try to skew a little more comedic? Or I don't know how they'd approach it. But if they bring them back, I'm pretty much sold from the get-go.
Yeah.
Question is, what other members of X-Force would they bring in? Because they can't use Shatterstar. Unless they get a mop.
Or Bedlam. Or anybody else. They can bring back Peter, because, you know, time travel. Well, time travel saved the day.
Unless we can infer that Deadpool saved everybody.
They kind of left the door open on that one. They didn't say whether or not he did. So it's possible. The best part was the last two scenes of the end credits.
Oh, God, yes.
Segment. Yeah.
Oh, man, I was cracking up so hard.
Killing off Silent Deadpool from X-Men Origins? Perfect. Brilliant.
Sorry, just don't mind me. Just cleaning up the timeline.
Yep. It's like, man, you just made it a lot worse. I don't know if you realize that, but hey, we'll ignore that. And then, of course, the Green Lantern bit at the end. Oh, man. I'm glad Ryan Reynolds can make fun of himself. I'm so glad that he is so willing to do that.
He seems like a real down-to-earth type of guy. Sure, he's handsome and wealthy and popular and successful and all that jazz, but he seems like someone who's got his head in the right place.
He seems like he is kind of Deadpool, almost.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's playing Deadpool or if he's just playing himself playing Deadpool. I don't know. I don't know. Just kind of how he is. But he is great.
Only convince Hugh Jackman to come back.
They had him there. They had him for a second. And then, of course, his appearance at the beginning of the movie.
Okay, yeah. Where Deadpool's
like, oh man, it's stealing my thunder with the R rating.
That little musical device was that's a low blow.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you knew I cried manly tears over that, and then okay, that's how the movie's gonna be. All right, you've established it from the get-go. All right, we're good.
That's what I said. This movie is so good at taking the piss out of other superhero movies. That's the best part of it.
Logan was art, damn it!
I know! I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just saying Deadpool 2 does a really good job. It's sacred. Come on.
You know full well, going back and watching that movie again, when you get to that scene, instead of going, oh, it's so tragic and beautiful, you're going, it's going to play music and turn around. Curse you, Wade Wilson, you ruined it.
If anything, that improved it.
Oh,
I'm that guy. I know. I say that as someone who loved Logan. I just am, I'm a troll at heart. So I'm glad. I'm glad Deadpool control us all.
Alright, so it is time for some Q&A, don't you think?
I think so. I think we've put this Deadpool to bed. Or we've figured out who's dead in this pool. I don't know this metaphor is really bad. I'm sorry.
We're going to do the Patreon Q&A first.
Okay.
These are coming from folks who are patrons over at patreon.com/bumblecast, and they've paid their way to the front of the line. Kyle, who do we have first?
First up, we've got one from Eric F. Has IDW stopped making the comics? I want to collect them, but they are sold out. What do I do? And where would I get Way Spencer's cover?
Okay, so Sonic the Hedgehog number 1 through 4 released once a week at full cover price sold out every issue completely. That's unprecedented and kind of mind-blowing. And they all went into second printings, and number one sold out after the second printing was even done printing, so it went into a third printing.
Yeah.
That's just, I can't even conceive of that, Kyle. It's honestly terrifying and humbling.
It's awesome, is what it is.
It is. It truly is, in the truest sense of the word. So that's why you would have trouble finding it in comic shops, because I don't think anybody expected it to be as huge as it was. Not retailers, not the distributors, nobody. So,
right. Yeah.
If you haven't already, hit up your local comic shop, see if they still have it. I don't know what all is being reprinted in terms of variant covers. If you missed out on the first run of them, I think that's it. You might have to go on to eBay or Amazon or other online stores and see if anyone's selling them. Go to shows and, you know, collector marts and see if anyone's got back issues for sale, because I think the second printings have unique covers to them.
I want to hop in here because I looked up availability at Midtown Comics online. They're still there, and they're actually on sale right now. So hop on over to Midtown and grab them there if you want to get them online. I think that would be the easiest way. That's where I ordered mine, and they came here pretty quick, and they came in great condition. So check them out. Yeah, so that's where I got mine from before they all were announced as sold out. So, yeah.
As for the Spencer's cover, that was exclusive to Spencer's stores, which, as far as I know, are only in the U.S.
And
you had to purchase one of the Sonic T-shirts on Free Comic Book Day to receive one of the comics as supplies lasted. So if you missed out on that, you can try going to your local Spencer's if you have one and seeing if they still have some in the back. Otherwise, you're going to have to start hunting online, because it was a very, very limited run. I mean, it's the same comic, it's just a different cover. But if you really want that collector's item, you're going to have to hunt for it, because it's a collector's item for a reason all of a sudden.
Yep.
None of these, we're going to inflate the market with our hologram covers, bajillion number ones. No, no, no. People actually snatched this sucker up.
All right. Next question comes from Saturn Flicky. You did great work with Sally Acorn in the Archie Sonic series, and she's a popular quest for the IDW series.
Yeah, she is.
But have you ever thought about reinventing any of the other old Sega of America Sonic friends? Porker Lewis, Joe Sushi, Tux Chirps, and Johnny Lightfoot? That is to say, as separate entities from the little animals in Sonic 1, just as Sally Acorn became.
Okay, let's dissect this one a little bit, because Johnny Lightfoot and Porker Lewis specifically are better known for their Fleetway incarnations.
Yeah.
And I know those would be off limits to me right now. My Fleetway knowledge is not the best. I don't think Joe Sushi, Tux, or Chirps showed up in that ?
I don't know.
I don't think they did. Or if they did, it was as the little animals and not like full-fledged Mobians, for lack of a better term. The idea of taking the little animals and reinventing them as full-fledged characters is certainly possible. But if we were to go that route, they would have to be distinct from the incarnations that have been seen in other comics. So you probably wouldn't see the names Sally Acorn or Joe Sushi or Johnny Lightfoot or any of those used. It would have to be something wholly new. And if we're going to do that, we might as well just make a character and, you know, species reference. Well, you know me, I love my references. I love my callbacks, but
sure,
it would be just that, you know, we wouldn't, if we introduced a pig character based on the, what were they, Pickies? It would be a pig character, and you could say, oh, is that a reference to the Pickies? And I could be, yeah, or I could, no, it's just a pig character. Ah, it wouldn't be, here's the Porker Lewis XP or the Johnny XP or the Sally XP. It's not that. It wouldn't be that.
Mm-hmm. What about like Sonic's old band from the Sonic 1 sound test or whatever. I think that Vector was in that, so it's like we've already got Vector. So I forget who else was on that.
There is Mock the Rabbit, Max the Monkey, and Sharps the Parakeet, who everyone thought was a chicken for the longest time because he looked like a chicken.
Yeah, well.
It wasn't until very, very recently that it was figured out that he was a parakeet. So a lot of interesting trivia coming out over the recent few months. If they were to come back, I would like to bring them back as the band, but I think this would probably fall under the Classic Sonic umbrella. And Classic Sonic is very quickly solidifying into its own thing.
Yeah. Which is weird. I'm lost. I'm confused, Ian. Save me.
Well, it's kind of like, let's look at the Mario series. You've got kind of like your main Mario, which is your galaxies and whatnot. So you get your Paper Mario, which is its own thing, and your Mario and Luigi, which is its own thing. So
I know, but none of those were established as being in the same continuity and then ripped from it later.
Well, that's why Sonic's always breaking down doors, never
falling. Yeah, I know.
He's blazing a new trail, and it's exciting.
Oh, okay. Talk about...
It's exciting.
Speaking of retcons... Speaking of contrived retcons that mean nothing... Let's get into standard Q&A. That's not a very good segue. From Sonic Blue Ranger, there's been a lot of discussion about this, so I might as well take it to the source. Is Tangela a lesbian? A lot of readers, including me, read her reaction with Blaze as a crush.
And counterpoint, a lot of people read her interactions with Sonic as a crush, so...
It could be. Maybe she's neither.
I'm not going to touch this, and I'm not going to do it for anyone. Not Rough and Tumble, not Whisper when she shows up. Not with any of the main cast, because my experience has been that, unfortunately, the minute that you trot out that aspect of the character, that becomes the only discussion of the character.
Right.
Not who they are, not what their interests are, not what the actual story content is. It just becomes one giant, constantly roiling ball of angry argument over just a small aspect of the character. So, if you want to read her that way... Have fun. Go for it. I'm not going to say you're wrong. If you don't want her to be that way, then she's not, and you're fine, and just keep reading. Maybe down the line, once the book is better established, and once she's had a chance to do something aside from appear once, we can, delve into her and expand that and maybe, set a flag on that mountaintop. Who knows? But for right now, I want folks to enjoy her for who she is in the world of the colorful animal people, and then we'll start getting into the more nitty-gritty stuff that is going to piss off the internet no matter what I do.
Tangle Solo Siri says what?
So my answer is no answer right now. Just I don't want to care about the romantic relationships of these characters because it's never but anything but misery upon the series. Just enjoy the adventures for now. That's not just Tangle. That's everybody. No Sonic Amy, Sonic Tails, Big Froggy, whatever. Nothing. No, I'm done with it. I'm wash my hands of the shipping. Okay? And I already know someone's going to be saying, Sonic number 2, you had Amy totally having the hots for Sonic. Yes, because that's canon in the games.
Yes.
That is her central character points. That's her introduction in Sonic CD.
Yes.
Don't at me. Tired of it.
You heard it here, folks. All headcanons allowed.
Yes. Launch all the ships.
Launch all headcanons.
As far as you want. Off to the horizon.
Arm cannons. Fire. Have fun with that. Next one comes from cute girl Myra. Ian, are you allowed to have a fan fiction, and do you? Also, what mandates or rules has Archie given you in directing this new Sonic continuity? I'm aware that beforehand, RG had rules pertaining to characters such as Sonic can't cry or Sonic can't show any interest in Amy Rose. Were those just rumor or very real, and are they still present, or are the shackles released, and you may discern a little more concerning character portrayal and development in IDW comics?
So that's like two questions instead of one, but okay. Do I have fanfic? In terms of these are the stories I would like to tell within these properties, sure, it's not written down or published anywhere. It's all head stuff, but I guess in terms of formulating stories based on other people's properties, that is fanfic, whether or not it's on the page or just in my head. So sure, why not?
It's not out there for you to read if that's what they're asking. It could be, yeah. Or maybe they're asking about if you have Sonic fanfiction, which technically you once did.
Yeah, there's some stuff floating around there in the dark places of the internet back before I was professional, and please don't look it up. Oh, it's bad. It's, oof.
You can find
we
it
all do stupid web. Things when we're kids. Just
you can find it on the dark web. You have to use Bitcoin to get it.
Don't waste your Bitcoins on it. in terms of the mandates, the mandates are not like these hard and fast rules that were chiseled into stone and delivered to my doorstep. Thou shalt not have Sonic Emooch. They are general common sense criteria that various writers have made public over time, because when the fans go, why haven't you done X? And not just me, but others in the past have said, well, because we can't, because that's not what the licensor wants us to do with the characters. And that's not unique to Sonic, and we've been through this so many times. It makes sense because it's a multinational brand, multimedia brand. It needs to stay on point. And some of these rules or guidelines have been distorted by the internet over time, because that's what the internet does. Like the whole Sonic cannot cry. That is a oversimplification of what came to be. There was this cover for one of the older books where Sonic is sitting there hugging his knees with a tear rolling down his cheek, and it's all very morose and sad and whatnot. And people kind of point to that as, that's the single turning point. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. And it may have been one of the red flags that went up, but it was not the one event. And the guideline that came from it was not that Sonic can't ever cry. It's that you can't write Sonic as a mopey emo derp in the corner. That's not how Sonic would react to things. That's not who the character is. He's not someone who's going to get overly emotional or weepy when he's met with adversity. He's someone who reacts, whether it's positively or negatively. That's up to interpretation. That's up to the individual moment. He is a very proactive character. He isn't mopey mope. Sonic can't show interest in Amy. It's that he doesn't really show interest in anyone. He's that free spirit. He doesn't sit down and get overly emotional or pour out his feelings. He's always on the move. He's very cool and chill about everything. He's not going to swing into this romance cover, Harlequin book style romance with Amy Rose. It's just not who he is.
Right.
So, yes, there are directions that fans want the characters to go and grow and whatnot, and I understand that. There is no common consensus on where that's going to go, so it's not like I'm beholden to any one idea. And it all comes down to what the licensor wants. If they want Sonic to be portrayed in this way, that is how he will be portrayed. That's how it was before I ever got on the book. That's how it was when I was on the book, and that's how it is now. So, see, I'm going to say this, and it's going to be misinterpreted, and there's nothing I can do about it. All the rules are still there because they make sense and they're common sense rules. And it hasn't impacted how I've approached the series in years. And as a matter of fact, with the IDW Sonic, Sega has given us a ton of creative freedom and has been very receptive to a lot of the new ideas. And there's stuff that I can't talk about That's really super cool. That, you know, I said, what if we did this? And they were like, that's cool, but what if it was this way? And I said, that's even cooler. Definitely doing that. It's like, I want to introduce this element. Okay, cool. What if it also had this element to it? That's genius. I can't use it in this issue, but I will use it somewhere else because that is awesome. It's been very, very just exhilarating, you know, to not only just play with all these old toys like I always have, but to have the licensor kind of lean over your shoulder and go, that's pretty cool. What if you played with it that way? Yeah, that's awesome. So I've gone way off tangent here. Basically, everything's fine. Nothing is broken. We're good. Okay. It's wonderful. I'm enjoying myself, and I think that will translate into the book as we go.
All I know is that Deadpool totally wants a mandate with Colossus. Is that not the kind of mandate you were talking about?
It is now.
Okay, good. Thank you. I'm glad I could help.
Launch all the ships!
And our last question comes from Toasty Kong.
I want to see that Kong.
I want that Kong. That Kong. That Kong needs to be a Kong. Did you notice that in Sonic Mania Plus, Ray is wearing shoes straight out of the Archie series?
I don't think they're like one-to-one exactly the same, but yeah, they are. They have to be a nod to Aaliyah Baker's redesign. It just seems too coincidental. Yeah. I could be wrong. Don't take that as official word. I didn't hear from anybody on high that that's what they're doing. It's just, you know, after the hooligans showed up, it just
it really feels like Christian Whitehead is taking a little bit of from the comics. I think he knows what's up.
And it not just, you know, my run or, you know, my era, but he also heads the nod to the Brotherhood of Metallics as well, and that was fantastic. Oh, that got me hyped.
Yeah. All right, and that's it for this episode's Q&A. We got some stuff to wrap us up, Ian, so why not launch into it?
All right, if you want to find me after the show, head over to my website, bumbleking.com, or you can find me on Twitter at IanFlynnBKC.
And you can find me at KyleJCRB on Twitter, or you can head on over to KNGI.org, where you can find archived episodes of the Bumblecast in MP3 format, along with my other show, Nitro Game Injection, which streams live on Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, also at KNGI.org.
If you want to ask us anything for the Q&A, head over to @Bumblecast, or hit us up on the emails at Bumblecast@yahoo.com.
Don't forget, you can also leave your questions down in the YouTube comments or via the Patreon comments or messaging system. It's all there. We also do our Twitch streams when we get around to it at sometimes over at twitch.tv/bumblecastgaming.
And we have patron exclusive streams every Friday in the evening, somewhere between 8 and 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. If you want to know exactly when, head over to Bumblecast and we'll let you know.
Yes, that's patreon.com/bumblecast. And don't forget to also go check out the Bumble store at shop.spreadshirt.com/bumblestore. And Ian, don't forget to give a shout out to our lovely supporters on Patreon.
I never would and never have. Don't fact check me on that. Big thank you to Eric F., Daniel H., Alex P., Saturn Flicky, Xanos, Brando, Fatoller, Scruffy Matt, Chris A., John B., Sam Cybercat, Mike B., Samuel P., Just Jennifer R., David C., Rubbing the Light, Lisa M., A.E. Double, Brody M., Neil H., Damo, Justin F., Justin G., Connell T., David M. S., Adam T., Silly String DeCaro, Michael A. Q., Lee A., Chevelle, Don B., Sin Fritz, Taco Elgato Comics, John M., S. Savardachan X., James K., Tick Tick, Papa Papa, De Prippity Papa, De KKM, Overthinking Films, Adam BT, and Ron.
It's Papadripopolis.
I can't say it.
It's like Hydropolis, but with Papadrip before it. What? I mean, that's how it is. I'm not exactly sure why that's funny, but I'll go with it.
I am amused very easily.
Okay.
The way that you said that, just so seamlessly. Oh, bravo, sir.
Thank
bravo.
You. Thank you, thank you. I think it's Papadopoulos. Watch it, I'm saying it wrong now. Anyway, thanks, Ron, and everybody else.
That's going to wrap us up for Bumblecast episode 69. Have a good night, everybody.
See you later! Bumblecast Zone, Act 69.
Hi there, and thanks for listening to the Bumblecast. If you liked our show, be sure to hit the subscribe button and consider supporting us on Patreon. We have some great rewards as well as big plans on how to make the show even better. Also, rate and review our show on iTunes. It gets more folks listening and helps us out, so we definitely appreciate it. Original music composed by Ken Coda Snyder, used with permission. Find more of his music at bc.s3m.us and find the theme song at noisechanradio.bandcamp.com, available as a pay-what-you-want download. Oh, God. Seriously, it's like I had a flashback to this Dr. Seuss book. And just the way that the words rhymed and flowed together, Paige would set all of us just to laughing hysterically. And that's the way you said it. It was just like that lilting, perfect. Oh, God.
I remember one time when I was a kid, for some reason, I don't know why, I was like 12 years old at the time, so I wasn't on anything, but... A friend of mine was staying over, and for some reason, he kept saying the word chip. And I was an absolute hysterics as he was saying it. He would just say, chip, chip. And I couldn't stop. And I couldn't stop laughing. He kept saying, chip, chip.
And because you were laughing, he kept saying it. And yes. That just made it funnier,
and it just kept going. And it just kept going. Yeah. I don't know why that was so funny. So anyway, I'll leave you.
I think it's just something to do with your brain chemicals. Of the age.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the word oven. Oven is also a very funny word.
If you say so.
Sure. If you say it enough, it becomes funny. It's like chip. Mm. It's like chip.
Just don't say act and think about it too hard. Otherwise, it becomes one of the most difficult things to say.